So Music from the Body, 40 years. When was the last time that you listened to it start to finish?
Oh, no. Never.
you've never listened to the album?
Oh, yeah. Shortly after we made it, I think I would have listened to all of it, but not very often.
Well, tell me about how it came together. My understanding is that you two mostly worked independently.
We made our stuff separately simply because it was tight. The usual thing of the deadlines were tight, so we had to crack on. And he was very busy with the Floyd, so he just grabbed a few, a day or two here and there. So his stuff was on the film was pretty raw. I mean, what one might say, fairly rough. So when it came to make the album, we decided to remake a lot of stuff. Most of my stuff was the same. I used the same same tapes because I didn't have the constraints of time so much at that time, because I was just working in that medium, in the film medium. So, I'd get up in the morning and work all day and then get, et cetera, et cetera. Roger remade all his stuff for the record.
So at the beginning, you didn't realize there was going to be a record?
I didn't realize. I mean, I didn't realize, but maybe, because of his connection at the time and the Floyd were beginning to get famous, maybe he would have known that would have been a likely way. And Steve O'Rourke, the manager, would have looked for that anyway.
How is it that you and Roger teamed up? Who got the job? Was it both of you, or was it you?
I was being supported a lot by disc jockey John Peel in BBC, in radio. He played a lot of my stuff, and I did sessions for his programs. And this film, this outfit that Tony Garnett, the producer, and Roy Battersby, the director, one of them, I think it was Tony Garnett, happened to meet John Peel. He said, "Well, we're doing this exciting new film, blah, blah, blah. Who's good, who do you think's good and hot these days in doing that kind of thing? A bit adventurous." And John Peel had no hesitation in saying, Ron Geeson. He's the chap to do that. So they came, I remember this, they came to me, that's to say, Garnett and Battersby came to me and asked if I'd do the film. And then they said, "Do you do songs?" And I said, "No, I don't do songs, but I know a man who does," because I was very good friends with Roger at that time. So that's how that happened. And of course, he being of the Pink Floyd, they were absolutely delighted.
Yeah. Well, tell me about some of the techniques that you used to make this very unusual sounding album.
I should shoot my mouth off here and say I was a virtuoso with a razor blade. It was tape. I could make tape do anything. Editing and turning it backwards and forwards and sideways and anything you like. And that's how the first piece, what's it, Our Song. Well, that is all done editing tiny little bits of body sounds using a click track and editing stuff so that it was all syncopated in rhythm. And once I'd edited all that, most of the body sounds are mine. Some of them, there's a couple of three that are Roger's. And I just got all these sounds together and edited them in rhythm, which is all, it's all down to the using a ruler, And it's an old technique before my time. And then I just played. Then once I'd done that, I played the piano to it, and that's the piece.
Let's give that one a listen. Our Song, the first track on Music from the Body by Roger Waters and our guest Ron Geeson. That album turning 40 years old this weekend. Broadcasting from the dark side of the moon every week. This is Floydian Slip, an hour of Pink Floyd. Some Music from the Body there, the first track from that album, turning 40 years old this weekend, Our Song. It was by Floyd's Roger Waters, paired with avant-garde, jack of many trades, Ron Geeson, who is our guest, joining us via Skype from his home about 50 miles outside of London. We would be only telling half the story if we didn't mention that Music from the Body was only one of the Floyd-related projects you were involved with. You also played quite a big part in the making of the 1970 Adam Hart Mother album. The band was experiencing some growing pains maybe at that point in its history. How was it that you were brought into that project?
Yeah, they were exhausted. I mean, just gigs and pressure and getting exhausted becoming famous. Mm. They got this thing stuck together with bits of tape stuck together at Abbey Road, EMI Abbey Road studio. And they didn't know what to do with it. They called it Epic. They couldn't see a way forward. And then they got to go off to tour. I think they were coming over to your place to do a tour. And they needed to get something sorted out. This is the 20th, you know, the first side of the album. It's about 24 minutes. Because I knew them, by this time I knew them all very well. And, you know, we'd go meals and pints of beer and things like that. And they just said, we want to do something big with this. And we've got this backing track, which has been stuck together in sections. Can you do something with it? We'd like quite a big sound. And I said, yeah, of course I can do something with it. What do you want? What should we do? So we worked out the forces would be, the affordable forces would be 10 brass, 20 choir and a solo cello on top of their backing tracks. And then I said, well, what do you want? You know, what do you think? He and Dave Gilmore said, well, this part, this passage here, I do a kind of a little bit of an arpeggio thing here. And so he played me that, and I took a note of that, which it wasn't a melody, it was just literally arpeggio, which in Italian means steps. And Rick Wright, he came around and we started looking at how to start the choral section, just the first, just the first phrase, really. And then they had to go, and I said, look, you get off to make your fortune in America, and I'll get on with it. So they were away for a month. I was stripped down to my underpants quite often because it was very hot that year, writing the stuff on top of their backing tracks, and that's it, and that's what came out.
What did the musicians that you brought on board, the brass players and the string players, make of all this Pink Floyd stuff? Were they more accustomed to playing classical type of music?
The players were not the finest brass players in the world. I had been doing a bit of working with live musicians, although I actually favoured working on my own, you know, painting with sound with electronics. But I'd worked a bit with live musicians, and those that I'd worked with were the finest soloists from the new Philharmonia Orchestra in London, one of the top orchestras. I was used to that, the real top quality, sensitive people, not hard-edged. And the brass players that were got for Atom Heart Mother were top session men, but top session men are not necessarily top classical players. And they were very hardened, but, you know, from playing crap, handling mediocrity for years. And I'm all green and young and green and all that, and I'm saying, trying to get them to, you know, well, what do you think about this bit? I said, how would you like to attack it? And they didn't understand this because they just needed to be told what to do. Mm. And we came to, it was quite evident that my technique talking to them wasn't working. And I was about to hit a horn player, and I'm not joking. And they could see the team in the box and all that. They said, we'd better get Ron out of there before he destroys the place. So they took me quietly upstairs to the box, meaning the box meaning the sound control room, and the conductor of the choir took over from there.
We have played the entire Adam Hart Mother Suite many times on the program. We don't have nearly enough time on this week's show, but wanted to play just a little portion of the Adam Hart Mother Suite. We're speaking with Ron Geeson, who handled orchestrations for that epic Floyd track back in 1970. You're listening to Floydian Slip, the Pink Floyd Experience. Just a short excerpt of the Adam Hart Mother Suite from 1970. Our guest this week, Ron Geeson, who co-composer of that track. Have you stayed in touch with Roger Waters over the years?
No. No, I fell out with him violently.
Really? Over what?
Personality, just social personality. He was, at the time, I can't remember when it was, but it was 20, must have been 20 years ago. But I'd have to look up a diary or something. He was going through a particular, I suppose you might call it, as an amateur psychologist, you might call it paranoia period. And, I just went to visit him one time, and it all got very silly. I mean, he would say things that completely, accuse me of thoughts and actions that were entirely untrue. And I just said, oh, that's the end of that. Look, Christ's sake, I've had it. Mm. I've had that. That'll do. Thank you. One moves on. One has to move on. And I've moved on.
You've had a very long career. You've done all sorts of things, music, multimedia, video. You're a writer as well. I'm guessing that there are lots of people like myself that want to do nothing but talk about your work with Pink Floyd, which happened 40 years ago. And I'm wondering if that ever becomes tedious.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because there wasn't much work done.
Yeah.
You know, there's one piece. It's one piece.
There's one sliver of
it. There's some bloody good melodies in there. The cello melody is worthy of any kind of stand up against anybody as a melody. And that's entirely mine. Some of the themes there in Atom Heart Mother are strong. They're strong. But that's that.
Well, getting back to your reason for your visit on this week's show, 40 years since the release of Music from the Body, we play cuts from that album routinely on the show.
Keep going, yeah.
Sometimes
I'll get two dimes and something out of it. Yeah.
It's been a while since I've listened to it start to finish, which I did the other day, and it has a real kind of stream of consciousness feel to it.
Uh-huh. Well, I have to say that it was Roger's idea. This is where I always respected him, admired him, for his ability to see an overall structure. In particular, in this one, it was his idea to put the stuff seamlessly, mixing one thing into another, out of another, so that you've got a journey, so you've got a story, even though you'd be hard put to say, well, where is the story going? Is there a beginning and an end? That was his idea, to interweave the material. Mm. And you know that on the track 10 on side 2, Give Birth to a Smile, that is the rest of the Floyd. They just came along and did the session.
Yeah, why was it that they weren't given credit for that?
I would answer that by saying, why was I not given much credit on Atom Heart Mother?
Well, you're one of the few people that at that stage of Pink Floyd actually earned a songwriting credit that was not a member of the band.
Yeah, fair enough. Just as well, isn't it? I'll answer the question seriously now, and that is they didn't want to be credited. They just wanted to help out, do the tap a little bit of a session and then go home.
So nothing to do with recording obligations or legalities? It was
No, because the same company.
Yeah. Now, you played on that track as well, didn't you?
I think so. I think I did. I think I played the piano.
Okay, well, let's give it a listen. This is Ron Geeson along with Roger Waters and the other members of Pink Floyd. Give Birth to a Smile on Floydian Slip. Floydian Slip, an hour of Pink Floyd, Give Birth to a Smile. That's from Music from the Body by Roger Waters and our guest this week, Ron Geeson. That album turning 40 years old this weekend. Well, maybe we'll talk in another 40 years.
Yes. Well, I don't know. The way that the medics are doing, they're keeping people alive a long time. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, very good.